all. I don't believe. Really?
Very good.
Ah, you know, we are trying to understand Yoga Sutra. It is like trying to appear for a PhD. And when you appear for a PhD, it is supposed, presumed, that there is a very good background. But already you are a BA, you are an MA, and now you presume to be a PhD. So with Yoga Sutra Abhyas. When you come to Yoga Sutra, it is like studying for your PhD. And you must have enough in you about Yoga, Yoga Abhyas, to make you understand what Yoga Sutra means. For a long time I have been talking to you indirectly. For a long time. Even now, even today, I hesitate to go directly into the Yoga Sutra. Because if you want misunderstand, then it is a lifelong misunderstanding. I have been trying to talk to you from various angles. Today also I will speak something as a preliminary to Yoga Sutra. Something very strange happened. Last time, after the meeting, when I was going home, I went by Opera House towards Chennai. There was a traffic block, so I stopped. And I looked on my right, and you know that famous Bindi jewelry shop. It's a huge shop. The jewelry there may be worth crores. That shop had two windows. Big, very big windows. And in each window was a long rectangle of red light. Powerful red tube light. And I could not see the shop. All I saw was two rectangles of red light. And the riches inside I could not see. The external distraction of those lights prevented me from seeing the riches inside. That is the trouble of life. The external distractions prevent us from seeing the internal reason. You know when a child cries for the mother? We bring a bell and jingle it. We bring a toy for it to play. We bring a sweet and give it. Why? To distract the child. The child wants the mother, the priceless mother, and we give it toy. And we are all grown up, playing with such tinkles and such toys. We have always been distracted. We are never allowed to see the riches inside within us. And with that we grow into adulthood. Our toys becoming wealth, beautiful women, very, very big houses, good clothes. But the toys and the distractions continue. Zen masters say that you are born with Buddha nature. You have to seek nothing, you have to find nothing. But you have to remove this distraction, that this distraction that prevents you from seeing. But many have said this. I will be one more who will tell you all this. It will help you know. But the Yoga Sutra, besides telling, show us the way, give us the practices, that is how we go ahead. Now, you will see that on the left, the first word is distraction. Whatever the nature of distraction,
and the second word is brain. This useless, stupid thing that we have got here. Useless. Absolutely stupid. Why? Because it is meant for distraction. If there are no distractions, this brain can't survive. If you give it no distraction, if you keep a man in a dark room with nothing around him, then he will go into the future or he will go into the past. His brain must have distraction. The nature of human brain is distraction. With this nature of the human brain, we talk of meditation. What will you meditate on with a weapon that is used for distraction? So the second word is brain. The first word is distraction. So distractions and the brain lead to avidya. This is our structure. This is what we are made of. This is how we live. This is how we have grown up. And suddenly to talk about meditation, Atma, God, forget. Forget it all. You must have a different road. This road will not lead you anywhere. Distraction, brain, avidya. That road has to be set aside. You have to take a new road. The road is perceived. Now what is to perceive? Most of the dictionaries give definition of the word perceive means to see. But what I see is distraction. So what is perceive? Perceive is to see what is not possible to see. You understand about the meaning of perceive? It is to be able to see what is not ordinarily possible to see. That is perceive. What organ you need for that? Not your brain. Individual mind. Chitta. Individual mind. That is the part and parcel of chitti. The infinite mind. And that leads to vidya. That leads to meditation. That leads to knowing of the Atma. That means not this side of the life. Not distraction, brain, avidya. It is to perceive through the individual mind with the help of the infinite mind and to gain proper knowledge. How this is to be made possible? How we can prevent this road? How we can take this road? Is what the Yoga Sutra talks about. Understand? Last time I talked to you on one particular sutra, where Patanjali says, if the object to be gained is sufficiently valued. Now if you go by this road of distraction, brain, avidya, the object you want to gain is wealth, good life only. But if you go by this road, the object to be gained is your Buddha nature, your Atma, your inner self, your divine self. You see, that is that road. You get my point? But this you are sufficiently valued. All of us know what is value of wealth, what is value of good life, what is value of good clothes. We have valued this. We have never valued this. We have talked like a tape recorder. We have philosophized like a tape recorder. We have never tried to practice and go by this road. If we want to go by this road, and if we know the object of this road, and if we sufficiently value the object that we want to achieve, to find, to know, then your efforts will be worthwhile. All these minds have been trying to tell you that there is different road by which we go for an object. It is not actually an objective. It is something of immense value. Your own true self. That is how we are proceeding. Before I go into the Yoga Sutra, I will have to pick up some points with you. Now, we have on this road, the first word is perceive. When can we perceive? If we are free from distraction. If we are free from distractions, the individual mind can perceive. Today you might say, I believe what you talk, but I don't know, I have never seen what is Buddha nature, what is Atma, what is Self, I don't know. How can I go after things I have not seen? Therefore the word perceive is used, to be able to see which is not normally able to be seen. You get my point? So if the brain is free from distraction, then the individual mind can perceive. Now when will the brain be free from distraction? Like the heart. The brain cannot stop for one moment. It is fatal for the heart to stop, it is fatal for the brain to stop. When a person dies, the first thing to die is the brain. The heart goes on beating for a long time. So, how will you stop the brain from its natural distraction? To enable you through your individual mind to perceive. And therefore, what is essential are a few sadhanas, a few practices that will stabilize the distractions of your brain. Like a pendulum that it swings continuously, it can slowly come to near rest. Suppose it can't rest ever, but it must come to near rest. Like your breathing, which is today uncontrolled. It could be 20, it could be 18, it could be 17. In the morning it's different, in the afternoon it's different, in night it's different. Like that, the oscillations of the brain are different. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, in the night. The next moment it might be different. And the different oscillations of your brain is what we call our mood. I'm not in a mood. What do you mean by not in a mood? Your brain is distracted in a particular direction. So, you are not able to concentrate or talk or think or find interest on a particular subject. Then you say, I am not in a mood. So, to bring this brain to near steady oscillation, like the three-step rhythmic breathing, then you bring your breath down to 12 per minute in a rhythm of movement. So there are certain practices that should bring the distractions of the brain to a certain slow rhythm. If that is not done, nothing is possible. Nothing. I have told you many times, sufficiently many times, that when the brain oscillates, the individual mind is involved with the processes of the brain. If the individual mind is involved with the brain, then the individual mind cannot be in tune with infinite mind. And if it is not in tune with infinite mind, you cannot hope to put yourself in rhythm with the infinite mind. Distraction that I have used. But then they will call obstacles and hindrances. Obstacles and hindrances to the path of yoga. And the main thing, obstacles and hindrances. Long, long back, I told you about your bliss, the bliss of the brain, the oscillations of the brain. You are thinking upon one particular subject. In a few minutes, your brain goes to another subject. In a few minutes, it goes to a third subject. These are called drifts of the brain. How will you steady your brain? Patanjali gives direction as to how you will control these oscillations, these drifts which create obstacles and hindrances. And what is the most and the strongest obstacle?
Pardon?
Fear. The greatest obstacle is inertia, laziness of the mind and brain. You have all the time in the world to do something. You have all the desire in the world to do something, but you will do nothing. This is inertia. Inertia of body and brain. This inertia is dictated by avidya. That is why Saint Patanjali says, avidya is the cause of all hindrances. It is the cause of all obstacles. Inertia. When I tell you to do something, say, stay a sadhana at home, you have got cold and tough, you are too busy, you are out of town, you have no time to do it. This is dictated by inner laziness. Inertia. The greatest obstacle is inertia. And inertia has also a cause. Inertia has also a cause, and that cause is structure of acceptance. I told you, structure of acceptance, which the Shastras call beautifully in one word, sanskar. If your sanskar will not allow you to tread this path, nothing will allow you to tread this path. Sanskars are most important. You are born with them. When you go from here, you take with you. Nobody goes empty-handed and comes empty-handed. We take our sanskar full, both hands full, and come with both hands full of sanskar. That is why you have often heard the word grace. We say, if God wishes, then only I will be able to go on the path. Grace means that if your sanskars can allow you to put your first step, take your first step on the path, is sanskar. You might tell me, if my sanskar won't allow me, then what? That would be a very vital question. If my sanskar will not allow me, then what? I will not ask you to go home and forget all about it. If there is free will in man, if there is little of free will in man, it is here that he can exercise. If he is moved heart and soul, then in spite of all the sanskars, grace will descend on him. A guru will cast his gaze on him from a distance. Something will happen. But for that immense desire to go on the path must be there. Day and night, there must be an obsession to go on the path. Then only you can take your first step on the path. As far as sanskars are concerned, in any other material field, it is very difficult. But on the path, if you have sufficient will, sufficient honesty, sufficient purpose to go ahead, God will see mercifully that you take the first step on the path. All these are there as obstacles. It is not easy to walk on this road. If it was easy, many would have achieved it. But it is only here and there that a man achieves it, sometimes. Because the obstacles and the hindrances are too many. And our own sanskars come in our own way. Life we lead. What do we gather? We gather a particular way of life. We gather some emotions. We gather some mental conditions. We gather some physical weaknesses. All these put together become psychic disturbance. What Sri Patanjali calls lower psychic nature. Today you may be 30, 40, 50, 60, 70. Today some of you might feel that now very little time is left. You may be in a mighty hurry today. But you all forget. How many thousands of years you have wasted. And in that, not only it is a waste, you have created for yourself insurmountable obstacles. How will your physical body react? How will your brain accept? How will your emotions be close down so that they may not prevent you from taking the road? All these thoughts you have never given. There are different paths for here also, for different temperaments. Those who take the bhakti path, do not think along this line, they are just in love with God. But that state to come is not easy. For the common householder who has to live his life and just walk on this road, he has to take certain steps, very vital steps. And that is where Yoga Sutra comes as a great step. Very fortunately, very fortunately, those who are serious, those who with all the heart and soul would like to go ahead, for them the curving of their brain, the silencing of their brain can be done through pranayama. That is why pranayama in yoga vyasa has a very high scale. A lot of importance is given to pranayama because the only one way to bind the thinking apparatus is the breathing apparatus. If you can set a certain rhythm of breath, it will bind your brain to a certain rhythm of thinking. There are pranayams, very many, very effective. But I have given you out of all these pranayams, 3-step rhythmic breath. It is one breath that you can have all 24 hours. There are other pranayams which you cannot practice for 24 hours. That is why we shall take help of our 3-step rhythmic breathing and with certain other exercises bring about a calming effect on the brain distraction. If the brain distractions are calmed down, the individual mind will perceive through the infinite mind. How it is to be done will also be shown to you in various other forms. To be involved with the distractions of the brain, the Shastras called it bondage. To be involved with the distractions of the brain means to be in bondage. Have you ever realized when you receive a telegram, you lose your appetite, you lose your sleep, and the mind moves in one direction, brain moves in one direction, refusing to do any other thing. If your son or your daughter comes late, does not come, still it is 11, 11:30, 12, you walk up and down, and all the negative thoughts of the world will cross your brain. At that time, whatever else you want to do, you cannot do. You are in bondage. Without strings, you are in bondage. You get my point? The man who has no control over his brain distraction is a paralyzed man. And a paralyzed man physically or mentally or emotionally is useless to the world. The man lives free from all such bondage, then he has taken the right step on the path. Till then, he is talking yoga, he is not living yoga. Very many hindrances that St. Patanjali has quoted are natural, are experienced by us, and therefore the first step is to be free from obstacles and hindrances. How shall we be free from obstacles and hindrances? How shall we keep our mind in a state to do whatever we want to do? If we want our arm to rise, it must rise. If we want to get up, we must get up. And if we want our brain to shut down, it must shut down. If we cannot do this, we are not living a healthy life. The credit of our country, thousands of years ago, this science has been developed to perfection. Unfortunately, as with all important sciences and knowledges, a lot of humbug has also come in. And therefore, the true seeker is many a time frustrated. He thinks there is no way out of all. The Pani, the Gita, and the Sutra, there is nothing better in the whole world. There is nothing better. To come to this Sutra, therefore, you have to come to conclusion that to walk and to take my first step on the path is more important than anything else. Unless your mind is made up, your attempts will never be wholehearted. We'll do for a few days, we'll forget for a few days, and that is the way most of you will go on. And there will be no result. Therefore, the most important thing is to make up your mind, come what may, I will not hesitate, I will not hesitate to put aside everything else for the path. That conviction must come before we can proceed with your sutra. Otherwise, your sutra will be like a novel you will read, and like a novel you will forget. And once you have made up your mind very firmly, come with great veneration, great respect to the sutra. For unless you venerate them, they will give you nothing. All I am trying to say is that unless you form a structure of your brain totally different from what it has been so far, it will not be easy for you to go ahead with the sutra. I have given you an introduction to the sutra before. Thousand fans in the last 200 years is very intent upon finding out the evolution of man. That he had long arms, that he was stooping, that he was this and he was that. India did not care for this external evolution of man. India concentrated on the internal evolution of man, where the Western world is not touched. In the external evolution of man, science uses the word mutation, gene. That has been used long ago in India, thousands of years ago. How to mutate internally your genes and your cells and your atoms. How to change yourself from within. How to evolve from within. This has been the main knowledge, the main instructions in India. You might be good looking, you might be straight. The sastras don't care. How your structure inside is what the sastras want to know. And if you are not structured, how to change your internal structure is what the sutras are going to tell. The science also tells us about the fusion and the fission that take place. And they are created with bombs, missiles. Indian sastras have gone so deep that they have broken the atom without creating a bomb. They have created atoms and fused the atoms to create a flower of a man. This is what Yoga Sutras will tell you. How to mutate, how to fuse, how to create that atomic energy in you. You have seen that a spaceship rises because of the force against gravity. The force of gravity is a very great force. But compared to the inner force of gravity, that outside gravity is nothing. That gravity that pulls you down is a greater force than the gravity of the earth. And if you want to rise, you must create enough energy in you, like the spaceship, to rise against that gravity. All this is explained in the sutra. Unfortunately, thousands and thousands have read the sutra. Hundreds have translated the sutra. But if they have not experienced the inner evolution in themselves, how will they write the sutra? How will they translate the sutra? I had the good fortune to be at the feet of a master who could guide me. Otherwise, to understand the sutras by a million readings is not possible. I want to share that with you. But I will not give you free. As a price, I will demand from you very serious work, day after day after day. That will be my fee. If you are not prepared to pay the fee, you will have nothing. This is very important in sutra. See how he writes. And the object to be gained is sufficiently valued, whether it is material object or whether it is spiritual object. Efforts towards its attainment are persistently followed without intermission. You get that point? Are persistently followed without intermission. There is no excuse one day of your life to say, today I had no time. The day you have that excuse, you are unfit for sutra. You are unfit for sutra. This is what it is. If this is the effort, if you persistently follow, and without intermission, that means without stoppage, then what will happen? Steadiness of the thinking instrument and restraint of the various modifications of the mind are attained. It is not otherwise. Not otherwise. It must be white hot heat that you must apply to your effort, day in and day out. Thinking nothing else is more important, then only you will be able to proceed step by step. And again, it is the control of the modifications, distractions of the internal organ, the thinking instrument, is to be brought about through tireless endeavor and through non-attachment. Repeatedly, the word tireless endeavor is repeatedly spoken by the sage. You will have to be extra careful in applying yourself. Unless you do that, you will be disappointed. I will be disappointed. Another point is very important in the sutra. There is the world of sin, papa, and the punya. There is the world of papa and punya in this sutra. The words used are vidya and avidya. When you make use of the brain, you cannot be free from avidya. But you make use of your mind, and come in contact with the infinite mind, there are all the possibilities that you will go towards vidya. What is a vidya? What is vidya? Is vidya B.A., M.A., Ph.D.? Is vidya scientific knowledge? Is vidya mathematical knowledge? What is vidya? Vidya is what an ignorant man has to know about everything. The man may be ignorant. The man has never gone to school. But if through his internal knowledge he has achieved vidya, the state of vidya, he will know what it is, the possible normality. And that means that God has created us much more and much better than we know ourselves. We are much better than what we are actually. How to know that we are much better than what we are? How we will bring about that state of betterment? How shall we be better? That will come by efforts, by training, by developing the internal center, so that you are in communication directly with the Infinite Mind. Patanjali says that everything that exists, anything and everything that exists, and the Shastras of course say the same thing, has three qualities: Tattva, Rajas, Tamas. The beauty of understanding this is very important. Normally, people give importance to sattva, look down upon tamas. They would like to be free from tamas. They would like to rush towards sattva. But the Shastras say something very, very different. The Shastras say and the Sutras say that there must be a balance of this quality of Rajas, Tamas and Sattva. If there is a balance of these qualities, then alone you can live peacefully. Sattva alone will not let you live peacefully, as Tamas alone will not let you live peacefully. In you, these three qualities of sattva, rajas and tamas should be like cream and butter in milk. You don't see cream and butter in milk. Cream and butter are the qualities of milk, but you never see them. Like that, these qualities must remain with you in such balance that you are a perfect wreck. How shall we bring about this internal balance? Because the beauty of yoga abhyasa, or even the knowledge of yoga sutra, is balance and rhythm all the 24 hours. These and many other things are here in the sutra. So unless you form with the basis on which to begin with, it will be difficult in the future to understand the sutra. That is why from different angles I have been talking to you about this very important point. We shall start directly going to the sutras in our next meeting. Before that, I want you to go to phase 2 of our exercise from phase 1. Have you been doing, all of you, phase 1? Have you been doing the refining exercises? And have you been doing as much as possible the 3-step rhythmic breathing? You will not begin Yoga Sutra without this foundation.